broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the 2017 ATD International Conference and Exposition. It's time for Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros.
And we are back from the trade show floor at ATD 2017. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. Lee, we're hitting our stride. We've talked to so many smart, bright, passionate folks, and the curve just gets steeper and steeper as we go. This is going to be a marvelous segment. Please join me in welcoming to the show HR Manager, Field Learning and Development for CSL Plasma, Miss Adia Smith. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me today.
Well, Adia, can you share a little bit about CSL Plasma? What are you guys doing for folks?
Sure. We are a biotherapies company. We're a subsidiary of CSL Behring. And what we specialize in is the collection of human blood plasma, which we then take and make into life-saving medications.
Cool. How'd you get into that field?
Actually, I joined the organization way back a while ago while I was in college.
I was giving blood, you could buy pizza.
I've never actually donated.
I don't know if you should have said that on the way.
I haven't. My veins are too small, but I started working part-time while I was in college, and it kind of became embedded in me, I guess. So it's like a marriage now at this point.
So what is field learning and development? What are you doing every day?
So field learning and development is really, we focus on the technical training components for our center locations. And so currently we have about 160 to 170 centers across the U.S., a few centers in Germany and Switzerland, and we've also moved into the Hungary market. So we're international as far as our locations go.
So you travel around the world?
I don't.
You don't?
But I do. I have traveled to most of the United States.
Well, I think if we've learned anything from this conference, I think you probably need to go see some of these sites
in
to
person.
Ensure that this is being done properly.
I would agree. I would love to take a trip over to Marburg, Germany.
Oh, wow.
And go see our centers over there. So.
So now some of your work, you work with millennials and Generation Z, is that right?
We do. I work with baby boomers on down, honestly.
You got all the generations
covered.
We have all the generations covered, yes.
All right, before y'all dive too deep, you gotta give me a little primer here about a little description of each of some of these labels, because they get thrown around a lot, and I don't have a good handle on it.
Sure. Well, at first, when we talk about baby boomers,
right,
we're talking about a generation that is almost at the, or moving into the retirement age.
Like Lee over here.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a baby boomer.
What's after that?
And so.
What's older than a baby boomer?
I don't know what's before the baby boomers.
Is there something before?
They're definitely retired.
That's the portrait over the fireplace. Is that?
So then you have, of course, your Generation X, your Generation Y, you have your Millennials, and then now I had read an article and I really wanted to talk to you guys about this Generation Z.
So somehow Generation Z got skipped. They threw Millennials in, then they brought them back?
Right. Right. And I don't know why it went like that, but that's how it happened.
And then what's after that? Now you're in trouble. You have to do Generation 1. You have to go numbers, colors.
What I don't know if you start. Next? Maybe you start over.
Go back
Generation
to A.
All right, but we got to pay attention to this in designing curricula, mm-hmm, in training our trainers, in delivering the curriculum, in tracking the results. We're joking about it, but this is serious business.
It is, absolutely. And I think the key part of this is you have to remember that the individuals that we are training, they're still adults. And so some of the basic adult learning principles still need to be implemented into whatever programs that you are developing, but you still need to be able to cartel it to those different generational groups. I think what you'll find with the millennials is that they still like to have their information, be able to do their own kind of self-exploration and get it quick and be able to get to it and then get on with it. And I think what we're also seeing now is with the Generation Z, they have some of those same traits, except for they're sticking around. They want something that's a little bit more tangible, and they also want something that's a little bit more long-lasting. So whereas we've seen our millennials kind of, come and go and move on and really looking to, kind of learn what they can learn and then move on to the next thing, we're moving into where the Generation Zs are looking for more stability. where millennials weren't so much worried about the stability part of it, but the being able to be engaged and then move on to something
new. So Generation Z basically just wants it all.
Well,
I'll take everything.
And reading the article around Generation Z, and I do have to agree with it, that Generation Z, they came up and they were raised up in a major part of the recession that we've just experienced.
Well, that's fair. Good point. That being said,
they really are looking for more of that stability because they've seen the need for it through that recession. And so what you'll see is, even within our organization, your Generation Z or your next group that's coming in, this is not their only job. They might really be carrying two jobs, and so they're kind of splitting their time.
Yeah. And that's not even counting their Uber side hustle they're doing on the weekend.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So now, as a trainer, somebody in the business of learning and development, do you have to create a different training program for every one of these groups, or is there any overlap whatsoever?
No, absolutely. I mean, that would... Well, first and foremost, human resources, we don't make any money. We just spend it. So they're not going to continue to give us that kind of budget.
Well, your job is to get the most out of these
people.
It doesn't matter what generation they're in.
Exactly. And so we really have to take a look at the training program and design it for everyone. Taking pieces of what we know best fits for each group and making sure that we incorporate it into that program. So moving into, different technologies, moving forward and keeping up with the technologies, we still have to take into consideration on how other people still like to learn. And even though we need to move into those technologies, making things more e-learning based and using our LMS more to deliver training versus, you know, handing somebody a document to read and having them sign off on it, we have to understand that some of our other generations still need that tangible piece of document or that tangible material that they'd like to be able to hold or be able to see and not just, you know, log into a computer and go through the training with.
Right.
The reason I'm smiling is as recently as just before I left town the other day, one of our millennials had put something in a shared drive folder doohickey thingy, and I don't consider myself too ancient, but what I wanted and what I asked for was an attachment. Right? He said, well, no, you don't want that. I put it in the shared folder.
Right.
So I'm on AM. He's on FM. And so if he and I both need to be trained in something, is there some wisdom, though, in maybe he and I participating in an exercise together and him getting the benefit of my perspective, me getting the benefit of his perspective? So you don't want to just put all your millennials in the noon class and all the old guys in the morning class, right?
No, because there's definitely things that you can learn from each other. And I think that it's really important for there to be some collaboration there so that your millennials do understand, you know, how to communicate some of their needs or some of their wants to some of their other counterparts that might be from a different generation, and then vice versa. But I see this a lot, too, in our organization where, you know, there's a lot of it's just around communication, right? Just how would you like for me to deliver information to you, or how would you like to receive it?
And he should probably be a little bit sensitive to that, and I should probably grow up and recognize it's better to do the shared folder doohickey, and I need to recognize that, look, if I'm going to have this guy on the payroll and he's going to be part of the team, I got to figure out how to communicate with him in such a way that the organization gets the best of it.
Absolutely.
You're asking us all to grow up.
You don't know what you don't know, right? So you don't know what you don't know. So if you don't know how it's going to benefit you, then you don't really know how to respond to it. So it's still all about training.
So now how important is it as an organization to kind of harvest and mine some of the wisdom and knowledge of the older generation before they leave, so that at least you have some of those learnings that are going to stay with the organization?
Oh, it's invaluable. It's incredibly invaluable for the organization. And I think one of the challenges that we've had was to gather and get this information, because so much of the training, and I think we see this in the industry across, you know, different organizations where information is just handed down through like a mentorship or, you know, just given to somebody else, and we haven't really captured
it. Right, you put the old person on the top of the mountain and you make the young people climb up to get
it. And make them climb up and get it. That's right. So we have to capture it somewhere. And I think that's, you know, it's still been a challenge for us, but we have moved towards, you know, through the mentorship programs that we are, you know, trying to implement, making sure that we're capturing some of that information and putting it into some type of learning.
Are you really doing some of that stuff, the mentors? Because that seems like a great topic over a cocktail at a conference like this.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually put something like that in motion, that's got to have a lot of moving parts, yeah?
It definitely does, and especially because our individuals that are at our center locations in the field, they're constantly kind of moving around, and they don't actually get to stay sometimes in one location, and so their mentor might not even be at the same location where they're working at.
Yeah.
But we have implemented this program through our leadership development program, and it's worked out very well. So such a desperate need for it because of the output that we really needed or the bench strength that we needed for new leadership within our business.
So you really did need the harvest. You needed the redistribution, which is great. I want to talk more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you my perspective on it. As someone who might be retiring in a couple of years from my role, if you were to include me in this mining, this harvesting effort, and treat me with that level of reverence so that you thought so much of me that you want me to participate in something. I don't know if you're interviewing me or you need me to fill out. Even if what I know really isn't all that important, you're making me feel great and be that much more engaged for the next 8 months while I'm still here.
Absolutely.
There's value there just in the engagement part of it, isn't there?
Absolutely, and especially for our mentors that, you know, They're usually center managers, and they're leading managers at their location and for locations across the way. But they do so well that, you know, the business almost runs itself at this point for them. And so,
right,
to your point, this is definitely an additional engagement component for them in the organization to kind of give them something else to leave as a legacy, if you will.
That would mean a lot to Lee too, I would think, at some point.
Yeah, thanks for including me in this conversation. So now when you're working with the Generation Z folks, and you mentioned that they kind of look at the world a little differently than millennials, kind of similarly, but a little more security oriented.
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact what you do kind of boots on the ground when you're working with them in a training environment? Are you doing anything differently, or you're just doing what you were doing with the millennials?
Well, I think that we definitely took an opportunity to incorporate that into our training programs, and specifically our newest program that we're rolling out, which is our new technical training program. Part of what we've implemented is to really give people an opportunity to visualize and to be able to see what it is that they're going to be asked to do, but also where they have an opportunity to continue to advance up, because that's part of the security component.
Right.
Of
so they
right?
got to see the career path. They got to
right.
make sure that they're a fit
and that they are with that career path, and that's what they
right.
want to actually do.
That they're on track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to use virtual reality glasses, right? How important is that?
Right now, it's very important.
But this career path track thing, this is important to this generation.
It is absolutely
thing,
important
right?
to them.
And they want to hear it.
They want to know that they have, there's a reason that they have a buy-in into the organization,
mm-hmm.
right? And not only that, but there's room for them in the organization to continue to grow. And we certainly do have that for them, so.
Oh, at CSL, you give them kind of a path, and they can see that, you know, if they perform, there is a place for them in the organization.
Right, and it's not just through the training, but it's definitely just through other...
The culture of the organization.
Culture and just the other opportunities that we lay out for them. We're a fast-growing organization. We open 2 to 3 centers a month.
Wow.
Oh, my gracious.
In the U.S., and so there's always opportunities for them to move on, to go to a new location, to apply for new positions, new leadership positions that are opening up. And so that's one thing that we really want to drive for them.
Now, the platform for you, the delivery platform for your training, is a lot of it web-based, or you got folks standing up in front of the classroom, or
yeah,
a little bit
of both? So I'd love to talk about that with you guys, because right now it's kind of a hodgepodge, and mostly because we are implementing a brand new program for our technical training, where we have moved it from competency-based learning, where it's all documented on physical documentation, and we moved it all to our learning management system within the LMS, and so now it's all basically self-paced learning through the LMS.
That's a big shift. I realize it's a technical training shift, but
It's a big cultural shift
yeah.
for our organization and period across the industry.
Sure.
Right? Right, so we're moving away from the whole idea of this classroom-style training because it's not necessary, and we can get through the training. We can get people to become productive faster by giving them the tools that they need, making sure that the message is always consistent within the training materials, and allowing them to do the learning, and then we help and engage them in the practice and performance.
All right, and don't forget, you still got to call the old guy on a Sunday afternoon or something and say, hey, how did it go? How did the e-based or web-based learning go for you, Stone? And let me just talk a minute.
They'll write you a letter. They'll mail it to you.
Well, we still want them to be engaged with our trainers. And so a lot of times what we find is that our trainers at our locations, they may not be up to speed with some of the technologies, but they understand the business. And that's where they come in and are able to really give some of those golden nuggets to our newcomers that are coming in and so that they understand what they're, you know, what we need them to do once they are live and in production.
And is there, I'm sure the answer is yes, so I really just want to hear more about the whatever mechanism might be in place for the learner to feed information, questions, ideas back to the system and return the learning mm-hmm. back to the org. That's an important thing, right? This feedback.
Yes, the feedback and evaluation is key. And so prior to this on the physical or the documentation-based program that we had, we really didn't have a sound way for them to be able to give on-demand feedback. Now moving them into the LMS where that is really where all of the information they will input or receive is going, they now will complete surveys through the LMS and be able to give us direct feedback once they complete their learning path or their learning track for their job. And so then we're able to take that those surveys and take that evaluation and look at, you know, what we've done with the materials and with the program and continue to enhance it to make it better for them.
Now, it seems like you guys are at least mindful and you're probably doing a really good job of getting all the different generations involved and engaged. Do you have any suggestions, maybe tips, tricks, advice for somebody who's just starting to get involved in this? How would you, you know, best practices on engaging multiple generations that are working in the same place?
Yeah, and what not to do. that's the biggie, right?
Don't assume that your older generations aren't tech savvy. I would say, number one, don't make that assumption. And don't assume that your younger generations are tech savvy, because you will be surprised that sometimes that is still a learning curve for the younger generation and not so much of a learning curve for your other generations.
Interesting.
Good. That's a secret tip there.
Yeah, no kidding. You could bottle that.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more about CSL, what do you guys need more of? It seems like you're growing pretty rapidly. Do you need more employees? Are you recruiting heavily?
We are always recruiting. Like I said, we're currently opening 2 to 3 new centers
right,
a month.
Right, so you need people to work there, right?
Yeah, so anybody that's interested can visit our website at www.cslplasma.com. Check out the new areas within the U.S. that we're opening centers at. Check out the positions that are opening up. And even if you're not interested in a position, again, the work that we do is creating life-saving products. And so we're always welcoming individuals to come and donate at one of our centers and help save a life.
There you go.
Well, for that reason and many more, you must find this incredibly rewarding work.
I do. I love what I do. I do. And I love the organization I work for because of how we service our community. So
yeah, you must sleep really well at night. I mean, you know you're doing good. You know you're doing good work. You know you're having a real impact. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And don't be a stranger. Come back and visit with us again and keep us updated because you guys are moving so fast and the work that you're doing does really have such an impact. I want to stay connected and keep up with what you guys are accomplishing.
Absolutely, definitely for anybody else, check out the website. We are always participating in different programs, especially with IDF and other organizations, March of Dimes. So just check us out.
Well, and you know what? The next time we have this conversation, I want to dive into that work supporting the communities and the NGOs and all those.
Absolutely,
stuff.
Yes.
All right, let's get that website one more time before we wrap.
Sure. Again, that's www.cslplasma.com.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest in that segment, Miss Nadia. That's not Nadia. What did I do? This is Adia.
Adia.
Close.
Anyway, it's a wrap for the day. I think it's about that time. We'll see you in the morning from the trade show floor at ATD 2017.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.